Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Mark Haas, Association for Enterprise Growth, Stephanie Rano from Torchlight Hire, Karina Bedour, Colliers International, Charles Mann, Verity Commercial, and Henry Fagan. Karina, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today, please?
Today we've got Ben Playstead, Executive Vice President of Saville Studley, Manan Shah, partner at Focus Investment Banking, Mark Edward, partner at Hirschback & Company, Bob Berry, president and CEO of The Green Turtle.
Let's get to know our first guest, Ben Playstead, who's Executive Vice President of Saville Studley. What is Saville Studley, Ben?
We're a commercial real estate tenant representation firm.
And how large or how small is your part of the firm?
In the D.C. metro area, we're about a $50 million company. We're actually a publicly traded company on the London Stock Exchange.
And where are you from originally?
I grew up in a small town in New England, York, Maine.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm in the middle.
Uh-huh. And what was the effect of you growing up in the middle of two sisters?
My older sister is 2 years older than me, so she was a role model for me. And my younger sister is actually 10 years younger than me, so it was an interesting dynamic where the roles kind of switched, and mm-hmm. I was a role model for her.
Henry?
How old were you when you first started making money?
I first started working when I was 13, washing dishes in an Italian restaurant.
Uh-huh. And any of your siblings work in the restaurant?
Yeah. Wasn't your sister working there also?
Yeah, my sister was actually, it was a pizza joint and an Italian restaurant combined, and she was the cashier at the pizza joint.
And didn't you tell us you had a special relationship with your sister?
Thinking back, she looked out for me. There's a lot of anxiety when you're 13 years old and you're working mm-hmm. in a commercial kitchen, and she looked out for me, and I think that's continued throughout the rest of my life.
And how about your relationship with your younger sister? Let me have that again.
She is, I've watched her grow up, so I think I've been a role model for her.
On one hand, you're able to be mentored. You like having folks above you that are helping mentor you, yet you're also acting as a mentor. We have a fellow here today. I believe Michael's name is Michael Lassiter.
Right.
And Michael, what's your role in the firm?
I'm the PR manager.
And you guys work together. You work with Ben, don't you?
I do.
What's his reputation amongst the coworkers in the firm?
Everybody loves Ben. He's a consensus builder, and he leads by example.
What do you mean by that? What are you talking about?
He's pretty good at just kind of getting everybody on board, rallying everybody behind him, and just talking to everybody.
Huh. How about that? That's interesting. Charles, did you have a question?
Yeah, that plays very well in your upbringing. You were into sports, correct?
Yeah, that's right. As a kid, sports was probably my number one focus.
Which sport in particular?
I played soccer, basketball, and track.
And you told us in the green room you're pretty coachable.
Yeah, I think that was, I was the captain in high school of all three sports, and I think that I was never the best player. I was more because I was a leader.
Your father didn't have anything to do with all that?
I think my father led by example.
But your father was also your coach.
He was my coach, yes.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie?
Yeah, so you had this role model of your older sister, and then you acted as a role model for your younger sister. Tell me about that impact, though, that your dad had on you as a coach and how you take that into your work every day.
I think that, as a coach, my dad, he had a lot of integrity and you know, really led by example. Actually had a lot of friends growing up that, you know, I think my dad was their role model as well.
Give me that again. You had friends and your father was their role model? What are you talking about?
I think just that's the kind of person he was. He was always there for me or for my friends if we needed someone.
So his, wow. So your dad was like the dad's dad.
Yeah, he definitely was. Yeah.
Uh-huh. How do you think that's affecting you nowadays?
Well, I mean, I think at work, you know, I run a team of younger real estate brokers, and you know, I think I kind of fit into that same role.
Of being, you know, the mentor,
being
the dad.
Yeah.
Karina?
Small town in Pennsylvania. How large or small was your graduating class?
A hundred people.
100 in your graduating class. And which groups in school did you hang out with?
I hung out with everyone. I think looking back, that was one of the unique parts of kind of my upbringing, is that I was friends with the jocks, and I was friends with the bookworms, and I was friends with everyone.
Awesome. Well, how do you bring that into the workplace every day, being able to work, hang out with all the different groups in school?
You know, my business, we have to adapt because, you know, we represent all types of companies in all industries. It could be law firms, technology firms, helping them with their real estate needs. So, you know, I have to be able to kind of adapt to all industry verticals.
I would think that, you know, also sometimes the tenant and the landlord aren't on the same page. Is your ability to work with all the different groups, is that your ability to help get these deals closed for your tenants, for your clients?
Absolutely. I think in all real estate transactions, you have opposing parties, you have attorneys, you have owners, you have tenants, and my job is to bring them all together and to get the deal over the finish line. That's what I do.
You're all about building consensus. I understand your older sister was, you know, your mentor. She had looked out for you. You did it for your younger sister. Your dad was the role model in terms of you and all your friends. It's like, you know, Michael was talking earlier about, you know, how you're all about the team, aren't you?
Absolutely. I think the team, you know, makes the firm better. It makes me better, and it helps us all succeed.
How do you feel about all your friends hanging out with your dad?
I mean, I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed what are you talking about?
It made me proud of him.
You think your dad's proud of you?
Yes.
Why?
I think that, you know, in terms of my dad was an environmental engineer, and he was, you know, he worked 8 to 5 every day, and, you know, he had a government paycheck, and I think, you know, I have exceeded his expectations.
Why would that be? What do you mean?
Just in terms of, you know, not, you know, I think in terms of not seeing a ceiling and kind of, you know, exceeding people's expectations.
Has that been to your office? Has that ever been to your office?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How do you think you felt walking through those doors?
Proud.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Mark, what do you got?
So you mentioned that sports was really important to you growing up. Is there any particular iconic sports movie or story that resonates with you?
Yeah, I think thinking back, I like all the sports movies. Hoosiers is probably the one that resonates with me because the small town, I grew up in a small town, and you know, coming to a bigger city and kind of being the underdog, and so I can relate to that.
Stephanie, what are you thinking?
So what people can't see is the chin quiver about your dad being proud of you. And so something hit there, right? Something that's back to that 8 to 14-year-old Ben.
Yeah.
What is that?
I think probably trying to be successful. It starts in sports. When your dad's on the sideline, you want to, you know, you want to win for him.
Who's got the next question?
What are we missing here? What do we not know about you that we should know?
I think what you're missing is you know, just a being authentic. I think that's one of the things that has really helped me in life and also in business is, you know, I don't try to be somebody that I'm not. I kind of tell my clients, this is what you get. And I think that helps just being yourself.
You're married. What would your wife say about you?
She would say that I work too hard.
At home, who wears the pants in the family at home?
Who wears the pants?
Who wears the pants in the family? Who's in charge at home?
She runs the family.
Good answer.
Karina, what else were you thinking?
So back to your chin quiver, what's the moment you think your father's most proud of you for?
I don't think there's one moment in particular. I think it's just, you know, watching. I actually think, you know, being a dad, and I think he's really proud of me for that, mm-hmm. you know, the family.
But what do you bring from mom to work every day?
My mom is a very social person, and, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom, but she has, you know, 10 times more friends than me, and she continues that. So I think learning about just friendships and how that relates to networking and business is what
so
she's
how, how do what a mom's relationship have anything to do with your business success? What are you talking about there?
Yeah, you know, she is. She is always the first person to reach out to others, and not afraid to ask for help, and also reaching out to help others that need help. So I think all those things relate to business.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this organization?
Savills-Studley.com.
How do you spell that?
SAVILLS-STUDLEY.
And we've been speaking with Ben Plaisted, who's the Executive Vice President of Savills-Studley, here on Executive Leaders Radio with Michael Lassiter.
That's right.
And, Michael, did we get a pretty good read on Ben today? I mean, do we understand who he is on the air?
I think you guys did it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, did you know this kind of stuff about him?
I learned a little bit before the interview, but, man, you got into it today.
Yeah, well, we like to get to know our people here on Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, Association for Enterprise Growth, Stephanie Reno from Torchlight Hire, Karina Bedour, Colliers International, Charles Mann, Verity Commercial, and Henry Fagan. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Whoa, good job.
Nice interview.
And your name is?
Jeff Goldberg.
And what organization are you with?
LiveWire Media Relations.
And what is LiveWire Media Relations? What are you guys doing?
Public relations firms, strategic communications, getting publicity for clients, media training, presentation training, whole host of services, whatever we can do.
So where are you from originally?
Originally from the D.C. area. Grew up in Potomac, Maryland.
And when did this media thing get into your blood?
Probably a little bit later than a lot of other people I know in the media industry. It was between junior and senior year of college. I was fortunate enough to get an internship at NBC News in New York, and from the day I walked in there, felt like that was the place for me, and did media for about as a TV news reporter for about 20 years before going into this.
What turned you on about that? What turns you on about the media?
People. Just being around people, being at the center of the action. I think since growing up, that was always something that was important
to
me.
And what's your role in this organization called LiveWire Media Relations?
A little bit of everything. Making sure accounts are getting taken care of, dealing with clients, making sure that things are running smoothly, and talking to new business as well.
So you're talking to potential clients about how you might be able to help them get recognition?
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. part of it, not only getting recognition, but to deal with strategy, to deal with possible unexpected things that might come up, help them.
So I guess the benefit of you're being on the other side of the fence, if you're actually being the media, is that you're able to advise them how to get press because you were the press. I guess you have an inside understanding of that.
No question about it. Understand how reporters, the press, think, operate, behave, and can certainly make that connection between the client and the media.
That's interesting. So the benefit of your clients hiring you is you understand how to get the press and how to handle the press. What's the website address of this organization?
LiveWireDC.com.
Let me have that one more time.
LiveWireDC.com.
And your name again is?
Jeff Goldberg.
And the name of the organization?
LiveWire Media Relations.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958.
1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Manan Shah, partner of Focus Investment Banking. Manan, what is Focus Investment Banking?
We are a middle market investment banking firm providing mergers and acquisition advisory services.
Mm-hmm. How large or small is this team?
We are about 65 people with three offices in the country.
Uh-huh. Where's the accent from? Where are you from originally?
From India.
From India. And how young were you when you came to the United States?
I was 21.
Uh-huh. Karina.
What was it like to immigrate here by yourself at 21?
It was challenging in the initially because I had to leave the family behind, and I was on my own for the first time in life, and had to pretty much be responsible for everything.
How supportive were they of your move?
They were very supportive. They didn't know what I was getting into, but they were supportive.
And who helped you get here?
It was my dad. He supported me by, obviously financial support and emotional support as well.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie?
So is your family here now?
Yes.
And did you bring them here?
Yes.
Your brother too?
Yes.
Okay.
And didn't you have some questions? I think Charles had a question regarding that, about the responsibility stuff.
Well, I you're from India, so there's a culture difference. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think back home, obviously, we stayed together very closely, and everyone took care of each other. Over here, when I came here, I was by myself, and so I had to learn to just take care of myself, and there was nobody around to really look after you.
A lot of responsibility on a 21-year-old man. Now, you never worked prior to coming to the States.
That's correct.
And so now you have to work to provide for yourself.
That's right.
What was your first job?
My first job was in New York, assembling papers, New York Times, and putting it together.
Wait. You were 21 and you came to the United States. Is that when you got a job?
Yes.
You were 21, you came from India, you went to work in New York doing what?
Assembling, the New York Times Sunday newspaper edition.
What did you learn assembling newspapers at 21, immigrating from India, that has anything to do with being a partner in the successful investment banking firm?
Well, I guess, once I knew that I had to do whatever it took to get it done, and to earn the livelihood, I put myself into it, onto the task.
When you got that job assembling papers, were there other people doing that job as well?
No, I think I was doing it myself. Some other students were doing work at the university.
Uh-huh. So you got that job yourself.
Yes.
Just needed to make money. Uh-huh. Interesting. All right. Let's see. Mark, what's your question there?
So when you're growing up, you had a best friend. What was special about them?
Yeah, I think the best friend, he always reached out to me regardless of how I felt at a certain point in time, whether I was willing to talk to him or not for whatever reason. I was not in a mood, or we had, some argument or dispute, but he always would reach out and make sure that, we continue the dialogue. So
that connection is important regardless of what's going on from day to day?
That's correct.
And how does that relate to your investment banking clients?
Well, I've kind of built that practice with my clients. So if my clients are not, communicating, then I would reach out and make sure that I know what's going on and stay on top of, things.
Karina?
Talk to me about preteen, teenage Manan. What was your family like? Large, small?
So our closest family was small. I have one younger brother, and so we were just a family of four, but we had a lot of cousins. You know, when you consider the overall family, it was pretty large.
What was your role amongst all of those cousins if you had a large family?
So I was the oldest within the family, so, you know, all the cousins were looking up to me all the time and kind of, you know, looking out and seeing, you know, what I was doing in life and trying to follow the footsteps and at the same time, you know, coming to me with questions and requests.
So you were kind of a leader for your family, for all of your cousins as the oldest ones.
Yes.
How did you take on that responsibility?
I think it just came naturally, and you know, as I grew up with that, my dad was the oldest as well in the family, so I'd sort of seen him, how he took care of the other, you know, brothers of him.
Well, your middle name is responsibility. You know, we understand that the family moved here, that your mother, your father, and your brother moved here because you were able to provide the financial support, and now we're finding out that he's got planted pretty early with your relationship with your cousins. I'm wondering, that responsibility thing, how's that come through to your clients? How's that benefit your partners and your clients in the business?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, we always look at, you know, the firm as sort of an extended family. So, you know, we want to make sure that it's, you know, everybody's taken care of. And if someone is not doing well, then we make sure that we...
Are you like the unofficial rabbi in the company where everybody comes and talks to you like your cousins used to?
Not quite, but... We just look after each other.
You look after each other. Interesting.
Do you have any hobbies?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I enjoy playing sports, outdoor sports, and, you know, movies and traveling.
Movies and traveling. Now, I know you also, being from India, you also like cricket.
Yes.
So there is a contingency of cricket being played around the United States as well. Are you ever involved in that 4 or 5 day match?
Not quite. I don't think we play 4 or 5 day matches here in U.S., but I do follow whenever, you know, India is playing, you know, and then international level.
How important was it to assemble, you know, and to really get into our culture in the United States when you came here? Was that important to you?
Yeah, it is important, and I think, you know, I was fortunate. I mean, I had always, you know, good people around me all the time, and so it was quite easy. People that, you know, were embracing. And,
Henry?
So your kids will take care of you when you're older?
I don't know yet, but I hope so.
There we go. Henry, why don't you grab it?
I understand you are a pretty big collector of comic books.
Yes,
exactly.
I was an avid collector of comic books. I used to do a lot of reading when I was young, back home in India. And at one point, I ended up collecting over 1,000 comics.
You collected over 1,000 comics. So you're the kind of guy that when you put your mind to something, you really go whole hog. I guess when it comes to getting a deal completed for your clients, you're pretty persistent and pretty passionate, aren't you?
Yes, I think my clients would say that about me.
Mm-hmm. What's the best part of your job? What do you enjoy the most about your job as an investment banker?
So I would say that, you know, ever since I've been in investment banking, you know, it's been about 15 years. I've really enjoyed it. I've not had a dull moment. I've never thought about doing anything else.
What part of it do you like?
I like everything, you know, from origination, having, you know, discussions with the prospective clients and learning about their, you know, companies and their challenges and, you know, their objectives. And
what time do you get up in the morning and start working?
About 8 a.m.
You get up, and what time are you on? Or you get up at 8 o'clock?
No, I get up at 7 and start the work.
What time do you go to sleep at night?
About midnight.
What time do you start doing your emails?
Emails are, you know, continuous. Sometimes I'll get up at night and still do the emails.
And do you have to work on weekends?
Yeah, I do try to work a bit during the weekends, but I, you know, obviously try to spend more time.
Do you hang out with any of your clients?
We do. So a lot of those clients become friends. I've had relationships with my clients that span over 5-10 years, and you know, we continue to work on different projects.
Why would you do that? That just takes up your time.
You know, they just, I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy, you know, helping the clients and, you know, being close to them.
All right, I just wanted to make sure. What's the website address for this organization known as Focus Investment?
Focusbankers.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Focusbankers.com.
We've been speaking with Manan Shah, partner of Focus Investment Banking, here on Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, Associate for Enterprise Growth, Stephanie Reno, Torchlight Hire, Karina Bedour, Colliers International, Charles Mann, Verity Commercial, and Henry Fagan. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Good. You nailed it.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this?
low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Mark Edward, partner at Hertzbach & Company. Mark, what is Hertzbach & Company?
Hertzbach & Company is a CPA and consulting firm.
Uh-huh. And tell me a little bit about how large or how small this firm this is.
We're about 180 people with offices just outside Baltimore, Maryland, Rockville, Maryland, and Arlington, Virginia.
Wow, that's a nice-sized firm. And where are you from originally?
Originally from London, United Kingdom.
London, okay, from England. How young were you when you came to the United States?
36.
And you mentioned when you came to the United States, there was a couple reasons why. What were some of those reasons why?
Well, apart from my wife encouraging us to make the move, she's a local girl, it was a time in my career where we decided it was time to make a change.
What was the reason for that change? What was the benefit of the change? Did you mention you were, like, reinventing yourself?
I'd reached a point where, yes, I wanted to develop. I'd worked for a long time in the family business with my father. It had done mm-hmm. well, and I wanted to branch out on my own
mm-hmm.
And to really take what I'd learned and mm-hmm. how to work.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier that you felt like you, and as a kid, you were like a hopeless introvert. Didn't you mention that earlier?
Yeah, I still am, but I hide it well.
Uh-huh. Who had the Stephanie?
So Mark, what are you doing 8 to 14? What's your day-to-day look like?
Well, I was very focused on school. I was a bit of a bookworm, read a lot of comics. I also did part-time work as soon as I was able to at the age of 13.
And what was that part-time work in? How was it taking that bookworm creativity into your first job?
It was retail in the jewelry store.
So not at all.
Trying to describe some pieces of jewelry to people. You learn to be a little creative.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me how that creativity from your first job, that introversion from your first job, is showing up in the work of that you're doing today.
Today, one of my roles is overseeing our marketing department, so that gives me opportunities there, but also working with my clients, thinking laterally how to present things, financial information as well as business strategies.
Excellent. Karina?
What did Mom do growing up?
My mom, she was a homemaker for much of the early years, but she went back to work after my youngest brother was in school. Doing comptrolling, an old term for a bookkeeper.
And your dad, what did he do?
My father, he was always the workaholic. He was involved with manufacturing, with selling and buying of china and glass in the early years and costume jewelry in later years.
Mm-hmm. Charles?
Why do you call him a workaholic, your father?
He had huge amounts of energy. He never stopped. Even when he was relaxing, he was actually really doing things and working. To this day, I've never seen anybody work as hard as he has.
What kind of role did your father play in your life, and how does he play in your life now, that role?
Well, he's always with me. He passed away 2.5 years ago. I was always very competitive, trying to achieve. He was always very competitive for his kids, his sons, and he was very much the person I wanted to make proud.
So it sounds like you were working with Mom and Dad, and it sounds like you're also working with your brother, or you weren't working with your brother?
I didn't work with my brothers.
So you're just working with Mom and Dad. And do you think one of the reasons you came to the States was to cut out your own turf? Does that make any sense?
I think there is something to that. It was time to prove that I could do it.
Uh-huh. What have you learned about yourself now that you've cut out your own turf and you've really taken on, you know, a new career? And what have you learned about yourself?
I think for an introvert, it's given me confidence that I never had before. It's taught me that I too can be brave and try the unknown and rely on other people to help.
Mark?
So your three younger brothers knew you way back when. And would you you say that they recognize who you've become as similar, different, now that you've reinvented yourself?
I think they wouldn't see me as the person I was as a kid, as their brother. I think I've changed a lot, though inside I still feel the same.
Mm-hmm. What earlier we were speaking, you told me that there's a big part of your life which is giving back. What do you mean by that?
When I moved to America, I started working with lots of non-profit organizations. I knew nobody other than family. This was my first step in creating a network, but it was my chance to give back. I felt very privileged in certain opportunities that opened up to me. I came with an education that helped and being able to speak English. It really helped me integrate very quickly. So now that I had that opportunity and some skills, both as a volunteer and in my business, nonprofits are a core part of my life, and I've tried to instill that in the
kids. And why is that?
Why is that?
You know, why the nonprofits?
Why nonprofits? Because it makes a difference to so many different people. It's a safety net in this country that is absolutely essential. And many nonprofits don't have the technical expertise to become successful in a financial, sustainable sense. As a CPA, I can help them with that, and they can help me with understanding
Charles,
the world.
Comic books and Mark Edward, how do they go together?
Very closely, actually. I collected comic books as a child and as a teenager and as a young adult, and even to this day, if my wife doesn't catch me. Mm-hmm. I found a lot of the morality and the ideas in comic books very enticing. It's helped me focus some of my thoughts and entertainment, so much so that I feel it as a very important part of my life. I'm even involved with creating a science fiction museum.
How's this all showing up in terms of your business career? This creativity, these comic books. What's that all about?
Well, I mentioned about the marketing side. In a firm of accountants, we're not known for our creativity, so I kind of stand out a little bit there in trying to help others express their ideas and how they talk about their businesses in a more enticing way. Both visually and in social media, and then working with the clients. I hope to be not just about the numbers, but to really translate it into their nonprofit missions.
You're telling me that the introvert that you once were has really turned into the communicator that you now are, and in fact, you're providing that role for a number of your clients when it comes to helping them with their communications of their financial statements and how to present stuff. Am I correct in that assumption?
That's a fair way to put it, yes.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Karina, what are you thinking? What's on your mind?
So talk a little bit about your brothers. You haven't told us much about them. What was your relationship with them?
I have two younger brothers. My closest to my age, we were very competitive, very different personality, very mechanically minded, cars, which was what my father loved, but I was never the one to do it, so I guess there was some competition for attention in our younger years. My youngest brother, where there was a six-year gap, was more similar to me, though he's an IT guy, and we're very close, even though we live 3,000 miles apart.
The competition you mentioned between your brothers and your dad being also very competitive and driven, how did that dynamic in the family work? Did you and your brother find yourself more competing friendly, fighting a little bit more? How did you manage that relationship?
I think there was a lot of sibling rivalry.
Okay, and now as a professional, you've got this very successful business. How do you bring that competitiveness into the workplace and manage when someone else is competing with you in the professional world?
Okay. Well, I am a very competitive person. I think I like to see competition in the workplace, but I always play fair, and I encourage other people to play fair, and I'm also the person to step away if things aren't being played in the right way.
That's interesting. Wait a second. This thing about fair play means a great deal to you. What are you talking about there? What do you mean?
I sounds corny, but I believe in justice and equity. It comes back to corny to the comic books and the morals you learn in those sort of stories and in books and movies, and trying to apply it to an ethical business life.
Good stuff, isn't it?
Good role model.
Yeah, it's that with great power comes great responsibility. Are you sort of living that out, in your both your nonprofit work with your clients?
I love the Spider-Man quote. Yes, I guess I do. As I said, I haven't changed an awful lot on the inside in all these years.
Mark?
What characteristics or qualities do you look for in employees?
I look for loyalty, good humor. I like to work with people that I like, and I hope they, to some extent, like me. But I look for a strong work ethic.
Mm-hmm. What do you bring from mom to work every day?
My mom was more of the follower of my dad for many years, but she was the peacemaker. She was the quieter person, more my introvert side.
Mm-hmm. Did you mention she had a sense of humor or something?
Certainly her humor I tried to bring, though my dad also had a good sense of humor, too.
What's the website address of this organization known as Hertzback & Company?
It's Hertzback.com.
How do you spell that?
HERTZBACH.com.
And your name again is?
Mark Edward.
Partner of Hertzback & Company. This is Herb Cohen, your host. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break. Nailed it. Okay. And your name and organization is?
Paul Schroeder. I'm with Eureka Facts.
And what is Eureka Facts? What are you guys doing, Paul?
We're a full-service research firm focusing on data collection, analysis, and reporting.
And who are your clients? Who are your typical clients?
Various federal agencies.
Uh-huh. And what do you do for them? Give me an example of what you do for them.
So we do survey research for them, focus groups, also cognitive interviewing.
Mm-hmm. And what's your role in the organization?
I'm focused on the growth strategy for the firm.
So how young were you, 8 to 14 or so, when you were showing, you know, when the strategy thing was showing up for you?
So 8 to 14, my obsessions were both music and math, and I was also obsessed with efficiency.
So music, math, and fish. Tell me more about that.
So I've always liked numbers. I've always been obsessed with how to solve problems. Mm-hmm. Music fits very well into that. I mean, music is math, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's been my creative outlet, but on the business side, it's been numbers and making them grow.
So when you're sitting down with clients or you're helping to identify new markets, you're always thinking about what's a better way of doing things. Give me what's that thought look like?
Yeah, so I'm very adamant about working smarter, not harder. And so I always had this obsession with efficiency as a 8 to 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
I would do long division in my head and could not understand why they wanted me to show the work. It made no sense to me.
Oh, my gosh. You're one of those kids that was, like, really smart doing all the math in their head. So the benefit to your clients of being this bright and being this strategic, I guess you're able to help them. If you're a research company, you're able to help them really figure out the right way to get the work done as efficiently as possible.
That's right, and as cost-effective as possible.
As cost-effective as possible. What's the website address for this firm?
EurekaFacts.com.
How do you spell that?
EurekaFacts.com.
And your name again is?
Paul Schroeder.
And your title there?
Chief Business Officer.
And that's Eureka Facts, and this has been your Business Spotlight.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
If
you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.T. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Michelle Givens, who is the president and CEO of Editorial Projects in Education. Michelle, what is Editorial Projects in Education? What are you guys doing?
We are a nonprofit, mm-hmm. and we're best known as the publisher of Education Week mm-hmm. and EdWeek Market Brief.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is the organization?
We're just south of 100 people.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
Generally from the Washington, D.C. area.
Mm-hmm. How many schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Just about six.
All righty. Okay. Andrea, what's on your mind there?
So between the six schools, I understand you found a passion, as you've told us, in music. Is that right?
I did.
And was there a particular instrument that you were fond of?
Yeah, I ended up starting with the clarinet.
And how'd that come about?
I was sold on the idea of trying it out by someone that visited my elementary school.
Great. Did you play by yourself?
No. I played as part of various bands, orchestras, marching bands, etc.
Marching band? That
yes.
must have been fun.
It was great.
Is that chaotic?
Actually, it starts out that way, but through a great leader, we become one.
So cohesiveness.
Yes.
That was an element of the marching band that you enjoyed?
Absolutely. And a lot of pride in being part of the halftime football.
Is that how you lead your organization today? Does anything translate from marching band to CEO? Tell me about that.
Sure. I think you come to appreciate that without great performance from individuals, there's only so much you can accomplish as the leader or the conductor.
Thomas?
And so what I find interesting, and excuse the pun, the orchestrating of the marching band, how you bring it all together and what you must do to bring all those different pieces into your organization. How does that work, and how did this marching band teach you to do that?
I think it helps you, or it helped me appreciate that you need to understand the ways that individuals contribute to create a great whole and how you have to motivate and understand individuals to get the best from each and every one.
Gene? So we've heard about your passion for music, your passion for being in a marching band. Do you have that same passion as the CEO of your organization as well?
I hope so. I think I do. Yeah.
And how's that demonstrated? I mean, what? Give us some examples of how you're passionate about what you do.
I am incredibly passionate about being part of a news and information company that is making a difference to education policymakers and practitioners and ultimately to students.
Brian?
Michelle, you have been in publishing and in publications for pretty much your entire career.
Yes, that's right.
What in your youth sort of directed you toward this area?
I was pretty good, maybe very good, at writing and always an avid reader. And I came to appreciate that I loved ideas and information and connecting ideas and information and, to some extent, ultimately helping people do their jobs better and, frankly, holding truth to power.
When did you first know that you wanted to really go into publishing?
It took me a while. I struggled a bit in my early 20s to figure out exactly what I wanted to do, but ultimately found my way to working for a small organization.
What do you mean by truth to power? What are you talking about there?
Well, I happen to believe in the power of independent, fact-based press, and I think one of the important roles that media organizations of that type play is to help us understand what those in power and those with money are doing.
Why is that so important to you from your childhood? Where's that coming from?
Well, my father came from nothing and used his intellect and his self-discipline to get himself a good education, serve in the Army, use the GI Bill to get a great education.
So you fundamentally believe in education, don't you?
I do, and my father was always a little skeptical of the man, and I think I picked up some of that from
Lester,
him.
What are you picking up?
Yeah, you had said something earlier about excellence and accomplishment as being real defining things for you in terms of giving you a sense of identity when you were 8 to 14. Does that come from the music?
I think so. That was really my first opportunity to demonstrate excellence.
Why was that important?
It gave me, I think, an early sense of identity.
Because?
Because I was able to bring discipline and focus and become good and really differentiate myself as a performer.
Did it allow you to also fit in, or does it allow you to stand out when you were younger?
I would say both. I think stand out, but also be a part of something larger.
Boy, it gave you a lot of stuff. It gave you the ability to fit in as well as stand out and be something part of something larger. It gave you a lot of dimension on yourself.
It did, and I'm a little bit competitive, but I tend to be competitive with myself. It's much less about outdoing another particular person. Mm-hmm. It's more about being the best I can be, and that was one way I could do that.
What is the website address of this organization, Editorial Projects in Education?
Edweek.org.
Let me have that one more time.
Edweek.org.
We've been speaking with Michelle Gibbons, President and CEO of Editorial Projects in Education here on Executive Leaders Radio. Les, can you give us a rundown of who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with today?
We had Ann Lindblad, President and CEO of Emmis Corporation, George Fritsch, President, Horizon Builders Group, Mo Joffrey, CEO of Chorus, and Michelle Gibbons, President and CEO of Editorial Projects in Education, Inc.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Gene Sachs from Cressa, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law. That's Gene Sachs from Cressa, Brian Chandler from Pretoria Law, Tom Miller, Thompson Greenspun,
Andrea Dykes, Howard Insurance, and Les Smolin from Vistage for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we want to thank you for joining us today. And do have a nice day. Bye-bye. Wow, we did it.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.